Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Welcome to the Ewing Barbecue, where we drink and talk about the show Dallas. My name is Mary.
And I am Sarah.
And I'm Josh.
And...
Still Josh.
this week, we are...
I was taking a sip of my bourbon, so...
Oh, okay. This week, we are going to talk about Season 2, Episode 3, Old Acquaintance. But first, how's everybody been this week? Sarah, I think you have some news.
I do. I am officially engaged, and it was a complete surprise.
Yeah.
It really was a surprise. So
it was a surprise?
He proposed to me on his birthday, and I had no idea. So
that is awesome.
It was a surprise. We were excited, and now I think we're planning a wedding as an adult is totally different than planning it as a child when using your parents' money.
Right.
Now it's your own money.
Right.
So I'm learning it's going to be hard because we're going to probably have it in New Orleans.
Oh,
like Bobby and Pam.
Yes. There you go.
You don't want to have it at South Fork?
I've looked, I swear, but if it wasn't for the travel distance, I totally would do it because I always wanted to do that, but it's too far from my family.
You're closer to New Orleans?
I'm about 4 hours to New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I drive down there. And then we're going to leave from there to get on the cruise ship and go on a cruise.
And you know, Lucy would warn you of the South Fork wedding curse anyway.
You know, I didn't think about that. You were correct.
Oh, yeah. So, there really is, isn't there?
There is.
Uh-huh.
As we will see.
As we will see.
But that's not new. So anybody else have anything? You're like, no.
but I'll get into it later. It's like a plot line out of Dallas.
Oh.
There you go.
We'll look forward
to
that later.
We'll save that for.
Okay. All right. I haven't had much. I have kids who are in orchestra, and so I've been driving them to a million places because they're currently in three different orchestras. And so I've been driving them all over the state of Washington, I feel like. So, yeah, it's almost the end of the school year. I'm totally excited about that.
Well, cool. Are they out of school?
No, they don't get out of school in Washington until the middle of June.
God, mine got out a week ago and they're driving me crazy.
They're out in Ohio. That much I know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So we have some reviews that I would like because people took the time to leave us reviews. So I wanted to read those on the air because I thought that was really cool. So I thought I'd read some.
Yeah.
Okay. So from Apple Podcasts.
Brace yourselves.
Yeah. Brace yourselves. I know. So we got a review from Sammy Shutter who said, great podcast. 10 out of 5. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then
it's waiting to be fired.
From Senior Drool Cup. He says, great new podcast. Great new podcast.
I like the name.
In an ocean of TV review podcast, this one really stands out. Mary and gang are fun, insightful, and thoroughly entertaining. JR says, check it out.
Yay!
I like his name.
Meet Senior Drew Club.
Yeah.
That is actually, I don't know who left this review, but this person is also a Twin Peaks fan because that's a Twin Peaks reference.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So good taste, Senior Drew Club. And then from Belvit73, he said, Dallas fans must listen. I'm about 30 years too late to the party. I begged someone to watch Dallas with me so I would have someone to dissect each episode. No takers, so this came along at the perfect time. Yay!
Yay!
This must have been what it was like around the water cooler in the 1980s. Best show ever. And I have to say,
We do provide.
I'm not really sure what it would have been like to be around the water cooler in the 80s since I was a kid. I would say more like the drinking fountain, perhaps, for me. But.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The drinking fountain, yes.
Yes, right. Trying to get
right in the hallway of school.
Trying to get other kids to talk to me about Dallas. Yeah, it was hard.
Me too. Nobody cares.
I know, right? Okay.
Well.
So, today we are talking about Season 2, Episode 3, Old Acquaintance. And I am very excited about this episode because I love this episode.
I like this one too, but I know why you like it.
Because
Jenna Wade.
Jenna Wade. In case you guys haven't got this so far, Jenna Wade is my favorite character. And hey, I know that that's sometimes a very unpopular stance. She's not always the most popular character on the block, but I would like to change your mind about that. I'm going to try to change your mind, and it's fine if we disagree, but I love her, even if she's played by three different actresses.
You get into the debate about three different Jennas.
True, and I'm going to be totally Team Priscilla Presley, but...
Me, of all three, yes, that's my one, right. But you can convince me to like Jenna.
Okay.
Well, she did have the role the longest, so you got more used to
that's
her.
That's true, yeah, she had the role for 5 years, right.
That was a long time.
So anyway, it was written by Camille Marchetta, directed by Alex March, and aired on October 7th, 1978.
Still wasn't a lot.
But your mom was really uncomfortable by this point.
Yes, we're getting there. One more month, or 1.5 more months, I'll be born.
She didn't do it during a Dallas episode, did she, where you were born and she had to miss it and she was in the hospital and all that? I hope not.
No, it actually, no.
Okay.
I think we missed that.
Good.
It aired the day after I was born.
Wow.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Excellent, okay.
All right, so. I like this episode. There's a lot of little things about it that bothered me.
Okay.
And that I liked. I don't know.
I'm just going to say this is in one of the first scenes, I think, where JR, we learned something I didn't know. JR is into horticulture.
Oh, the plants.
He's talking about his plant and like he's growing. Like, I never pictured JR actually caring about plants before, but there he is. He has a little plant. He's like watering it. He's like talking to it.
Well, these are the early years. He drank tea and had cookies.
Right.
And he also rode a horse and went out on the range. So
exactly.
And had plants he talked
And he wore that safari outfit.
Yes. So, yeah, this is early JR. Yeah.
So, who wants to be
so I guess, like, why don't we could explain the episode, maybe, the plot of the episode. What happens in this episode?
Yeah.
Does anybody else want to do
it? You can start since it's Jenna Wade.
Okay. All right. So,
like, damn it.
So, in this episode... Bobby, out of the blue, gets... Well, okay, I'll start over. The episode starts off with this guy getting caught, obviously, with a mistress. And then we come to find out that the guy is... I don't know, is he a senator?
Maynard Anderson.
Something like that. And but we realize that his wife is the rich one, because she's holding all the... The car.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. So
she wears the pants in that family.
Right. But he has the political appointment. I'm not sure. He does something in the government. But his mistress is he's like older and she's in her 20s. Played by Morgan Fairchild, by the way. And her name is Jenna Wade. And so the wife catches them.
Sorry.
And then
never been a fan. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
She breaks them up, and then we cut to the Ewing family where they're awkwardly talking about this whole situation, and Bobby's just sitting at the table like, you guys, shut up. I don't want to talk about this. And then we come to find out.
I got a wife here.
Right.
I got a wife.
You guys, like, shut up. I haven't told Pam about Jenna. Because Bobby's, like, childhood sweetheart is Jenna Wade. He, like, this is the girl that he always thought he was going to marry. It sounds to me like they were dating from the time they were, like, in elementary school all the way until she decided to, that she didn't want to settle down when she was about 20.
It almost sounds like an arranged marriage, almost, kind of, because their families were friends. Right. So it almost seemed like it was like he thought he should marry her, and she thought she should marry him.
She grew up on the next ranch over.
Right. And they'd just been like, yeah, they just...
Terrible businessman.
They'd always been boyfriend, girlfriend. And so then she just decided, like, I don't want to settle down and get married, so I want to go do something else. So on the eve of them announcing their engagement, Bobby and Jenna, she left, she went to Europe, she met some fake count, and immediately got, like, pregnant.
Naldo Marchetta.
Naldo Marchetta. Yeah. Which, okay, here's something.
Jenna.
I wonder if this is a thing. So the writer of this episode is Camille Marchetta. And then
it is. It is.
And so, and then the person that Jenna married, did she marry him originally? I think, I'm not sure if she married him.
I think they got married. When he comes back later, I think he's trying to tell her, like, we're still married or something like, in those later ones, when he's trying to say, I still have our certificate. But yeah, you're right that Naldo's last name is that of episode writer Camille Marchetta. Uh-huh.
But so. They didn't give her, they didn't give him the last name in this episode. She just referred to him as Naldo.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So he was one name, like Cher and Prince.
Right.
At that point.
So anyway, so then she had this baby, and then Bobby kind of guessed they didn't really see each other after that, right? And they broke up, and then Bobby went off and married Pam, but Bobby never told Pam about Jenna.
Man. Well,
must have slipped his mind.
Yeah. So then.
They all say.
Right. And then this episode, yeah, I'm losing the track here, guys, sorry. Does anyone want
to? Okay, the only thing I had. This is so, like, I'm the one that picks out all the weird details that just really bother me. Like, people don't close the door when they open it. Like, drives me crazy. When Jenna is in the car outside of Ewing Oil, when JR and Bobby pull up, first of all, what the fuck was she doing there? How the fuck did he work there? And how the fuck did she know what time he was going to be there? That bothers me. So she's going to sit out there all morning?
JR told her to come.
Oh, Jesus. See, I missed that. How did I miss
that? Yeah, JR set up the whole thing. She says at the end of the episode. So JR goes to her. Like, she's having all this trouble. So the rich wife is trying to make Jenna leave town. And so she needs help. And so JR is like, oh, here's a way to get Pam out of the picture. I know Bobby still loves Jenna.
Gotcha.
I'll go interfere. So he goes to Jenna and said, like, hey, I know Bobby wants to help. Just ask for his help and he'll be willing to help. And he was right because Bobby was like, hell yeah, I'll totally help you, Jenna. And he did.
And you do have that wild card, the child. And this Jenna was very manipulative. She was.
She was.
Cold.
She was. She was cold. Yeah. She was manipulative.
Yeah. And Morgan played that well. Whereas Francine Tacker was just kind of like, I don't know, she was just there.
She was just there.
Didn't make an impression on me.
I don't even really remember her. She's the one that I don't remember.
Puffy hair.
Yeah, she has puffy hair, and it's in a couple seasons, and I think it's like when...
She's in a couple episodes.
Spoiler alert, guys.
Yeah.
For those of you who... No, I think she's only... Is she in more than one episode in the future?
I think she's in two.
Okay.
Is that the one where Pam and him were kind of separated a little bit?
It's like
at her apartment a little bit?
I think it's when Pam went out of town with Mark Grayson. And Bobby was all
I think she went out with a...
Or somebody.
I think she went out on a business with Alex Ward.
Oh, maybe. It was some other dude. She went out of town on business with some other dude, and Bobby was not happy about it. And then he ran into Jenna, and then they, like, spent some time together. And I feel like he was, like both of these times, Bobby, like, is tempted to cheat on Pam with Jenna.
Yeah.
Asshole.
And the whole Charlie storyline kept contradicting itself.
It kept coming back. It did. It really did. Because so at the end of this episode, they make her answer the question, like, is Charlie Bobby's child? And she says no.
As Pam's yelling and not to wake up the child. Right. And she wakes up the child.
Right. And Jenna's like, no. Like, basically, she kind of wishes it was Bobby's, but he's not Bobby. Charlie's not Bobby's child. And then this just keeps coming back. And it's a whole thing in, like, season 8 where, like, Bobby's like, you lied to me. You made me feel like Charlie was my kid and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, in 1978, she clearly told you that it was not your job.
Yes. When she had a different face, she clearly told you.
Different hair, different face, different voice, different persona.
And she looked a lot like Jordan Roberts on Falcon Crest, but that's another story.
So weird. Yeah.
Hey, trivia note, on that note, this is for you, Mary, because you love Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
I noticed that, you know, he played in the episode of Winds of Vengeance, but did you know that he also appeared in 5 episodes of Dynasty?
I did not know that.
I did not know that either. And I was looking him up to see what else he was in. And I saw that and I was like, well, I know I've seen him. And so, yes, indeed, he was in 5 episodes of Dynasty.
Wow.
There were actually a few cast members that were in Dynasty.
What was the other one? I saw that too.
Peter Mark Richmond, who played Maynard Anderson in this episode.
That guy's in a lot of stuff.
He's in there a lot, I think.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the name Maynard Anderson was Punk's real name. Maynard Punk Anderson.
And he just recently died in the last couple of years too. Right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, like recently. I say recently, but in Sarah time, that could be a couple of years.
See, Joseph Chapman.
Seriously.
Joseph Chapman, Brian Dennehy, Ronnie Claire Edwards, Joel Fabiani, John March.
If I had been a boy, my middle name would have been Maynard.
Dale Robertson. Oh. Yeah. All those actors appeared on Dynasty. And Dallas.
Nice. I tried to name my son JR. My ex-husband wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it was going to be John Ross McElroy.
Oh, my God.
He wouldn't let me. Yeah, that's really sad, but it's true.
And then
I had a dog. I was going to get the girl dog, and it was going to be Sue Ellen, but then we ended up buying the boy dog, so it's Opie.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know.
If I ever had a girl, I was going to name her Jenna. Like, my entire life was like, I am going to name my daughter Jenna. But one, I didn't have a girl. And two, so my college boyfriend, like my first big, like huge relationship, he cheats on me with a girl named fucking Jenna. And I was like, really? Of every girl in the world, you had to pick the one girl who has the name of the child I want to have. Asshole.
That is crazy.
Right.
That shit happens to me all the time. I mean, not like exactly, but like, seriously. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So then that kind of deterred you from.
Yeah, then.
But you didn't have a girl.
But then I didn't have a girl, so I just, there's a bunch of boys.
Maybe that's why you didn't have a girl.
Maybe, right.
Why is it, with Jenna, why is it in her apartment the first thing she unpacks is the liquor and has that whole cart set up while everything else is in the boxes?
That's true.
Is she expecting JR to show up?
She has to be expecting, or she's hoping, like, Bobby will show up.
Well, someone's
probably
always at the front door when she goes down to the door.
It's true.
That's what they say. She thinks that Bobby's coming over.
Right.
She's going to liquor him up.
Right. She's all like, buy you a drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then this is actually the first episode where Bobby and Pam start having some friction between them.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is the start.
Yep.
And as Jock said, we handled our women differently back then.
Right.
Jesus.
Gross, Jock. Gross.
There goes that
chauvinist pig.
Right.
You
just wait till next episode, motherfucker.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
We take care of you then, asshole. I'm just kidding. Okay, go ahead.
I'm totally 100% Bobby should have told Pam about Jenna. Like, that was so, like.
Yeah. You don't have to tell your spouse or ex about every single person that you've dated, but if it's somebody you were potentially going to marry that was that serious.
Right.
Like
that was like his.
Scott and I have been together for a year and a half, and I saw somebody the other night that I had dated for like a couple of months before him, right after my divorce, and I immediately told him I dated him. Like, just
right.
Don't keep secrets.
Right. Don't keep secrets. Okay. And the fact that he kept keeping that secret, like, it just, I think, mm-hmm. went to show that he had something to hide, because he did have a lot of feelings there. So that was questionable, right. Bobby. And even though I am Team Jenna, I do think it's really shady of Bobby. So.
And then when Cliff runs into Bobby and Jenna coming out of the store,
so
after mm-hmm. in his first appearance of the season.
Yes, and that, I love him. He's actually, Cliff is my good for this episode, because I love the way he calls Bobby out. He's like, You're a lot more like JR than I thought you were, Bobby.
I have. That is exactly what my good is. I have Cliff. Seeing Cliff. That is my good.
Yeah.
Except I don't like the way he pushed his way past all those people on the escalator.
I totally agree.
As he was coming down, he was like pushing his way through.
Yeah,
like,
he's in a hurry.
Donald Trump or something? Just.
And they were.
And he actually does unveil his candidacy for office. In that
oh,
episode,
right. He announces that he's going to run. Yeah.
Which is going to come up in the later story.
Okay, well,
yep.
I did not have that down. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he was meeting Pam. Cliff is meeting Pam for lunch. Did you notice how, like, so they're waiting for Bobby. They're sitting there. They just got their food. And she's like, sorry, I don't know what kept Bobby. And then he's like, oh, I don't know. He immediately is on, I gotta go. I'm in a rush. Didn't eat any of his food. Like, it's sitting right in front of him, gets up and leaves.
Well, nobody eats on that show. They take a bite or two and then the food.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Somebody gets in a fight, somebody gets upset, they storm out, and then the food's just left on the table, like growing mm-hmm. salmonella or something.
Mm-hmm. Pam straight up.
It's Darius.
Right. Pam straight up steals Charlie's doll in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Pam steals Charlie's
doll.
They're
in the car.
Yeah, they're in the car because Pam accompanies Bobby to Charlie's school where Jenna is being like a room mother or something so that Bobby and Jenna can talk. Yeah. And then she sees Charlie and then she was like, oh, that's a cute doll. Can I see your doll? And she takes it and then they drive off and she takes the doll. And the whole rest of the episode, yeah, like,
a,
Charlie's freaking out.
Doll.
She's like, where's my doll? And then Jenna's like, yeah, we're looking for her doll. Like, she loves this doll and we can't find it. And Bobby's like, I don't know where it is. And it's like, then later, like, he's playing with the doll in the Ewing kitchen.
Do you think that she meant to do it, or was it an accident on the show?
No, it was like a thing because they keep like, they're like literally like Bobby's like holding on to the doll at South Fork. And then later he's like, oh, I found the doll, but it's totally Pam stole it.
Yeah, she stole it. It's sitting on her lap as they drove away. And with him in the kitchen, can we talk about the ugly yellow kitchen decor and the phones on the wall? Ugh.
That it was a very, it's a kitchen of its time. It's a very late 70s kitchen. Yeah.
And the yellow phone by the front door mm-hmm. instead of on the other side near the stairs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And have we ever seen the doors to the living room closed? Sliding doors? That was just odd. They were closed.
I don't think so. Well, not that I can remember, but yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Alcohol does things.
The cause and solution to all of life's problems.
There's a very angry Pam on a horse.
She's always angry on the horse.
She is always angry on a horse.
I had that down too. It was like, and she looks, when she's galloping across, she means business.
Yeah, you knew she would tear some heads off.
It's true.
Which brings up Miss Ellie's horse whip story.
God,
to Pam.
I love this.
Which she played out in the early years.
She
we
did.
Saw that
yep.
actually happen.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. I have the quote written down. Miss Ellie says, Jenna was never stoical about anything in her life. When she goes down kicking and screaming. And I think that's one of the things I love about Jenna.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I do.
This Jenna.
Well, even Priscilla Presley's Jenna, I don't know about Francine Tacker's, I'll have to rewatch those, but Jenna isn't stoical about anything. Like, she has feelings about everything, and she acts on uh-huh. those feelings. Like, if she wants something, she'll go for it, except for, like, later on, after Bobby breaks up with her, and she does not go back after Bobby, but she is super pissed about it for a long time.
Yeah. She gets a little crazy, too.
She does.
Oh,
a little
she
bit.
Had a bit. She had a bite of the cray-cray.
Well, she goes
That's
crazy.
What I'm saying. I think Bobby drove these women crazy.
Well, she went crazy during the dream season, for sure.
Oh, God. Yeah, I was watching that scene the other day with her and Cam at the ranch.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, she went.
When she goes back in to get John. Pam goes in to get John Ross's bag, and Jen is coming up the stairs with her little dessert.
Yeah, she goes crazy during the dream season. And then, but after the dream season, like, literally, she's just kind of like a woman scorned. And she's like, shit, broke up with me. And, like, I just got out of jail. Because if you skip the dream season, she had just gotten out of jail. And now you're breaking up with me. And, oh, shit, no, I'm pregnant with your child. But you're still going to marry Pam? Cool, bro. Cool.
That's always, I know we're going to get there soon enough, but that's always fucked with me a little bit. Like, I don't, it's right? A lot. I don't know.
Hey.
Yep, it's one of those man thing.
Right.
Just kidding, Josh.
Hey, settle.
That's why we have all the we have man and woman on the podcast.
Yes,
we have
exactly. Two sides to everything.
Now, did you notice when they had the scene in the Ewing offices that made the city seem very large behind them? When we've walked that city, if you've walked Dallas, it's everything is like next to each other.
Exactly.
So it's funny looking at those episodes where you can see the skyline behind them, and it's like, the city is not that spread out. Don't give me that.
Which
crap.
Is why I think that my inner vision of Dallas was so much bigger.
That's exactly Absolutely. What I said. And I agree with you, Josh, on this episode because I noticed that. And because I noticed that, I started reading in that trivia book we have and it actually says this is the first episode. The first time in this episode that you see the new Ewing building inside and out.
Yep.
So they're shooting from a different building, and I think maybe their angles are different, and it just is deceiving. I don't know.
No,
because I did notice that.
I think that it was the interior, and they put a mat, like a painted mat of the skyline behind them.
Yeah, maybe.
So they were shooting on a soundstage, and they just made it look bigger when they made the background mat.
Jock is smoking again this episode, you guys.
Yep. I noticed that.
And, like, so if he is sneaking smoking, why are you doing it in the kitchen in your house? Like, is it like can he blame it on a maid or something?
I guess. Because I know I smoke and you can smell it everywhere.
That's the thing with cigarette smoke. It goes everywhere.
So we basically had JR setting up Bobby in this episode with this whole Jenna
right.
thing, which is, you know, more of JR's underhanded scheming,
exactly.
Bit by bit, he starts to get more.
He's getting better. JR's getting better.
Creative with his schemes right. over the years too.
I like Jock. Like knew it was JR. He was like, "You leave Bobby and Pam alone," and he's like, "What? It's not me."
Well, little innocent me bat those eyes,
right.
smile that right. grin. I thought it was funny being a videographer. There was a scene where JR was on the phone in the lobby, and the scene starts where the camera is following this lady across the lobby, ends up on JR, and I'm thinking, okay, my first impression is this woman supposed to be important to the scene? And then she just walks off towards the elevator and is in the background and disappears. I'm like,
just a creative way to get into the scene, I guess.
Yeah. They do that a lot, though, especially in the first couple of seasons. I don't know if it's just different camera stuff back then, because I'm not like y'all. I don't do all that stuff, so I don't know. But you can tell a lot different after, like, the third season, maybe fourth. It changes a lot.
Yep.
Right, and you'll notice some weird camera angles in the next episode that I just was picking up on right from the very first shot of the episode. It was just like, really? But we'll get to there later.
I really noticed Jock's jewelry in this episode. Like, he's really blinging it out.
He likes that gold nugget ring.
He does. The big gold nugget ring. He's like, wearing necklaces.
Well, if you've got the fortune, you might as well flaunt it, you know?
Wait, in the necklace that he wears, the one that everything, they find that necklace?
Oh, right, right.
No spoiler. But he does love some jewelry.
He does.
We'll just leave it at
he
that.
He is all about it.
And they are busting out the fashions of the period at the time, too. All those... And that ugly, while we're talking about ugly, that stupid light above the table in the restaurant.
When I didn't JR notice
was, when JR met me, it was like hanging over his head.
Oh, I didn't notice
it. It was like, okay, I'm sitting there looking at it and going, it looks like he's in a woman's hair salon. And one of those big head things, the hair dryer things are hanging over his head or something. Like.
And they're the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's very tacky.
Yeah.
And the dark restaurants back in the
70s. Shit, we had carpet in our kitchen. Who has carpet in their kitchen?
It's not as bad as
we had it like
in your bathroom.
Oh, that's great for the grease
fire.
We had that, and we bought a cabin, and it was the shag carpeting in the bathroom.
Ugh, it was so gross.
Yeah, baby. Oh, behave. You notice the women do nothing at South Fork?
No, they don't.
Pam's like, after breakfast, there's nothing to do.
No, there isn't a goddamn thing to do.
She swims every day. She swims every day.
She's getting bored out of her mind, and of course she is.
Well, she's getting ready to go out for the Olympics. You know, she can be on the swim team.
There you go.
The 1980 Olympics were coming up, so she could have been ready.
That's true. Mm-hmm. She was like, I need to do something.
In this episode, Lucy didn't make too many appearances either, right? Or at all.
No.
Well, she was instigating at breakfast.
Right. She was like, he could have Jenna Wade be his secretary. Bobby's like, nobody needs a smart aleck, Lucy.
Lucy, why don't you go back to the hot biscuit and look for your mama again, okay?
So here's another thing that, like, doesn't mesh, like, between now and when Priscilla Presley comes on in 1983, is that everybody besides her face, and she is a little bit shorter, so everybody at the table knows Jenna, right? Because she's been around forever. Like, Sue Ellen knows Jenna. Lucy knows Jenna because she was around forever. In 1983, it's like no one knows who Jenna is. They introduced Jenna to Sue Ellen.
Well, she had a different face. She looked like Elvis Presley's ex-wife.
It's true. How weird.
You have to introduce her. She has a new face.
It still kills me how they have three different Jennas. But it's okay.
Well, they had two Kristens.
There's two Fallons in Dynasty, too. Just a little plug for Dynasty there.
Yeah, until she went, and then she went up in the UFO and disappeared in the sky off the Colbys.
Crazy. So, this episode was not bad. I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
Four bourbons out of five?
Yes.
Wait a minute, I'm doing four shots right now because you gave it four.
So I would, I'm going to give this one, for an early episode, I'm going to give this a 4.5 bourbon.
Okay, that's fair.
Because it's Jenna, and I love Jenna, even if it's a different Jenna.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm about there, too. And hearing the backstory, though, I like because it, again, lends itself to the idea of a new series with the years between the early years and '78.
I love the whole backstory of Bobby and Jenna. I think it's adorable. I love it.
Yeah. I guess like the young love.
Yeah, it's totally like young love, first love, the whole thing. And
I see old pictures of Priscilla Presley when she was young, and I'm like trying to picture her and Patrick Duffy acting out those scenes like way back when.
I know.
They would have looked good together.
I don't know. This is just like Bobby and Jenna were like my first favorite fictional couple. I used to play Barbies and pretend that my Ken and Barbie were Bobby and Jenna.
Well, mom were Sue Ellen and JR. And
Pink and Pretty was always Jenna, and then I had Shaving Fun Ken, and he was Bobby. I should post a picture of Shaving Fun Ken on Instagram because Shaving Fun Ken looks like Patrick Duffy. Like, he even has like curly dark hair. I'm not kidding.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It was.
Yeah,
it came with a marker so you could draw on a little beard, and then it had a little thing that you could like shave him.
I was outside of my big wheel playing with Stretch Armstrong. I don't know.
I was in the Cabbage Patch phase.
Oh. I didn't get a Cabbage Patch Kid till like it was sort of the end of the Cabbage Patch Kid phase.
I had 10.
Oh my gosh.
My grandmother worked at TGNY, which is like the knockoff Walmart in Mississippi. And so when they came in on the truck before Christmas, the workers there got first bit. People were fighting over these Cabbage Patch Kids.
They beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, my dad used to work in like a suburb of Birmingham in his office. His corporate office was right next to a Toys R Us. And so my mom was like, get this Cabbage Patch Kid for her or I'll kill you. And that's all I wanted from Santa Claus. And so
they meant it back then.
But my dad, if you know my dad, he forgot. And so he's on his lunch break and tells his secretary to go get it. She goes, comes back and is like, you're not going to get one. You've waited too long. It's like 10 days before Christmas. You know, you're fucked pretty much.
Yeah.
So my dad gets up, he goes there, and he finds the sweetest lady that works there and was like, if you tell me what day the truck comes in, I will be here at 7 a.m. and I will pay you $150 to pull one off the truck for me.
God.
And the woman was like, sure. My dad went the next day and got me. And the girl made him pay him $200 to get the thing. My dad did it. He was like, the wrath of your mother is worse than not getting the coverage.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I remember at that time, the height of the whole thing, when they had on Saturday Night Live, Eddie Murphy played Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Yes, I love that.
And he did the Christmas one where he would take a doll, rip the head off, and stick a head of cabbage on it and call it a cabbage
doll. Oh, yeah, I saw that episode.
I forgot about that. Last little trivia thing, which is really not even trivia, is... Laurie Lynn Myers played the young Charlie in this episode. She's never seen again, and she only has, if you look her up on IMDb, she only has one other thing in 1981 she played in, and she's never been seen again. So that was her. Yeah. And then, of course, we know the later Charlie, which we'll get
Shalane
to.
Shalane McCall ended up leaving the business and becoming a librarian.
Right.
Really?
That's what I heard. And then she's like, disappeared into the void.
That's like the girl from that movie, Can't Buy Me Love. She disappeared too.
She was in Can't Buy Me Love?
No, I said this other girl, the main girl, the pretty blonde girl in Can't Buy Me Love, the main character. Uh-huh. Like, if you look her up, you can't find anything about her. It's like she's wiped off face of the earth.
Whoa. We've done
this. I mean, my friend have like tried to Google her.
Speaking of disappearing from the business, I just wanted to throw a birthday shout out to Omri Katz, John Ross,
who is
43 today.
Happy birthday, Omri.
We're recording this episode on May 30th.
Yeah.
So that's his birthday. And I did.
Omri, we are the same age. I'm 4 months older.
I did post something to him on Facebook.
Cool. So good. That's cool.
We should post something on our Facebook to him and our Instagram, and I'll put something on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And
I have to say, I remember seeing Omri Katz on, and no one's probably going to remember this but me, but there was a show that was...
Freaks and Geeks?
No, it was a takeoff of, do you guys remember Putting on the Hits? Which was a lip sync show.
Yes.
On Saturday morning, there was a show called Putting on the Kids, which was a kid's version of Putting On. And then they had like kid celebrity guests, and Omri Katz was totally on that in the 80s. And I was so excited. I'm like, it's John Ross!
Aww.
I remember him on Erie, Indiana.
Yes.
With Jason Marsden and Justin Schenkero, mm-hmm. who went on to play Tom Skerritt's son on Picket Fences. And then he was on an episode of Freaks and Geeks.
Who was he in Freaks and Geeks?
He was just in an episode. And then he played John Larroquette's son on The John Larroquette Show. John Larroquette, who played Lucy's divorce lawyer from Mitch.
I love John Larroquette.
Yeah, but we'll get to him much later. So, old acquaintances. That was...
Yeah, old acquaintances. I love this episode. So, this is an episode because I'm a big fan. I didn't actually get to see this episode until 1991, I think. Because obviously I missed it the first time because I was 2 years old. And then I watched it when I was in high school for the first time. I think this was airing like around the time I was in driver's ed.
Was it like TNT or something?
TNN, maybe?
TNN.
The Nashville Network?
Yeah, TNN.
That's right. The Nashville Network, which I think became Spike TV or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, it did, didn't it?
And it was still a single storyline, self-contained episode.
Right, but we're starting to put little nuggets in of other things that are going to be coming up in other episodes.
Yes.
Like Cliff's campaign.
Love it. Yes.
Yep.
I also noticed a little thing that's probably not really a thing, but I just wrote it down. I noticed that Jenna's apartment number is 2003. And this is season 2, episode 3. I didn't know if that was on purpose.
It probably was. It was one of those, do you see it?
Right.
And I was thinking, two's company, Bobby and Pam, but Jenna being three is a crowd.
As well.
Well, that too.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, I think that might be it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Hey.
Hold on.
If you are listening to this and you like it, why don't you subscribe to us on whatever podcast catcher you're listening to? And what would be awesome is if you went and you gave us a positive review on that podcast catcher, including iTunes, Stitcher, etc. That would be cool. And why don't you join us on social media? Because we have a Facebook page called The Ewing Barbecue, and we are having discussions there about the episodes, and it's pretty cool. We have an Instagram. It's EwingBBQ. I've been trying to put up little, like, funny memes about each episode that we do. So go on there and you can see them. And we are EwingBBQ on Twitter. And if you want to send us an email, we are theewingbbq@gmail.com. So until next time, see you later.
Ciao.